Thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra, where you can find information on auto insurance, employer and ERISA policies, short and long-term disability, personal injury claims, surveillance, and much, much more. This is your car accident radio channel. Talking About You with Estra's radio show welcomes you. Call the show today at 718-766-4385 with your questions, comments, or car accident experiences. I'm listening to what you have to say about your journey. And you never need to travel this path alone. You can read, watch, or listen with me at any time. If living in poverty, no one needs to define it for you. You know it's a struggle, and daily living needs are not being met. Day-to-day struggles are hard to endure. Living without vital items becomes commonplace. People living in poverty also know the disappointment of not being able to provide help to others who are important in their life. Yet, many of these burdens would have been uplifted if receiving a fair settlement from auto insurance claims or receiving regular benefits for short or long-term disability in an individual or group policy provided by employers, or could be assured that Social Security disability payments could not be stopped without advance notice. For today's definition of poverty by Estra, which is me, is defined as, quote, living without resources promised by a corporation and paid for with insurance premiums, but not paid to policyholders after filing a claim, leaving insurers without the necessary income for survival in a way expected and assumed when signing contracts with these organizations, which leave insured without income which would have allowed daily needs to be met, end quote. The losses experienced down this journey can be significant even without the loss of income. The physical and emotional toll of recovery can be enormous, especially at the beginning of the process. The mind and body can be in two different locations, meaning the mind may be processing things the way it did before collision, and the body has damage it must immediately attempt to repair. Therefore, from my experience, there can be a lag time between the shock of the experience, which can be fully grasped by the person starting this journey. And unfortunately, this is also a time where many individuals can be taken advantage of because of being in shock and temporarily losing their bearings. It can be very difficult to make decisions in your best interest at this time. Be very careful in making major decisions until able to understand the full repercussions of choices. This is one of the main reasons why I continue to say, be your best advocate. The choices you make will impact future dealings. There is no shame if you fall into poverty. In life, you can do the right things and still end up in the wrong place. The key to remember is that change is constant, and you can improve upon where you are physically, emotionally, and financially. It is really about the whole you, and this is why you are the most important person in this equation. When it's all said and done, the corporations have the time and money to defend their stance against those with the least in our society. In my opinion, in most cases, their concerns are more with investors than policyholders. And until we are able to get insured civil rights legislation through Congress, the hurt and suffering experiences by policyholders must be a shared burden by bringing awareness to the plight of those living in poverty due to unpaid claims. The question which must be asked and addressed is why such an industry as insurance, which, by the way, is closely tied to banking with their vast power, be regulated at state levels when most of their policies and business are regulated on a federal level. In my opinion, state budgets do not have enough power to change bad faith behaviors by billion-dollar corporations. Poverty will not end due to unpaid claims until legislation is passed to protect the rights of policyholders. The leash lobbyists of these powerful corporations have on current policyholder contracts provide enough loopholes that few policyholders have the resources to fight for their benefits. As our country moves further and further towards those who have money and resources and against those who don't, the more inequality in our legal system, economics, housing, medical care, and yes, this list does go on and on, means the lives we lead will be decided by a few and less opportunities for those outside the boundaries of Wall Street will continue to occur. One of the first safety nets people involved in a car crash invoke is their auto insurance policy. In back of their minds, many policyholders think that they'll receive support from their insurance carrier, and they can rely on this corporation to protect them from future harm. But is it true? Can you let your hair down, so to speak, and expect to be protected by these corporations? Does paying premiums month after month, year after year matter? How about being treated reasonably in the past in the claim process? Auto insurance companies command how most outcomes will occur for policyholders. They control when and how much medical providers receive for your care, how much attorney fees will be paid, and if and when policyholder settlements will take place and for how much. Therefore, auto insurance companies are at the core of the entire process. What moves without them? In fact, they are capable of creating the auto insurance claim to nowhere. What incentives do they have to pay out claims? Policyholders' goodwill? Premium payments coming in from the insured, keeping investors happy? What about their reputation to draw in new customers? All these efforts impact their bottom line. One dissatisfied policyholder will tell at least 10 others compared to those who are satisfied. Can repetitive commercials place a psychological salve on possible future clients? Can systematic bearing of online complaints or advertising on the same page quiet these unhappy insureds? What about legislation that works on their behalf? The complexity of the auto insurance claim process and the journey of dealing with this multifaceted industry means that being informed and prepared before the collision means knowing what to look for, along with what to look out for during the claim. Take nothing for granted about what you can assume to expect when dealing with auto insurance companies. Look at their records. Share how you've been treated by them. Good faith and bad faith examples help policyholders to make better decisions. This can only happen by not being bullied into silence. Recognized as a group of informed policyholders, less will fall prey to poverty. And insurance companies with these reputations will not have anywhere to hide online, offline, or behind commercials. Today, finding the right job or career is not easy in our current economy. Upward mobility has become a dream for many, far away from reality. Most persevere through tough times to reach this goal or obtain positions which at least provide the possibilities. Nothing shakes up the possibility more than a car crash with injuries. Income is how most people keep their lives on track and take care of day-to-day living expenses. Although most are still living paycheck to paycheck and are almost homeless, employees continue to make it work. But what happens when the paychecks end? Even worse, what happens if you are unable to work? This is where a large percentage of private employees who do not have insurance associated with their jobs have a problem, because it's no work, no pay. Not only before Obamacare did most have no way of paying medical bills, but no resources to keep them afloat. And approximately 50% of those who do have employee benefits are not guaranteed to receive these benefits. Most private employers are becoming self-insured, meaning taking on responsibility of being their employees' insurance company, making the decisions who actually will receive those benefits and who will not. By being self-insured, private corporations fall under ERISA legislation, which was drafted by Congress. In this process, consideration of policyholders, in my opinion, were ill-conceived and leaned favorably towards these corporations. Who would have thought Congress would have placed no compensation for employees who are treated unfairly by employers? Currently, the behaviors of employers are not subject to the same rules as those with individual plans. Group plans give employers lead way to bypass incentives which encourage bad faith practices against their employees. What was Congress thinking? Too much lobbyist input, perhaps. Why would a company with incentives not to approve a claim be the same organization to make the decision? Very few places do we see such conflict. No one knows what to expect after a collision. But one thing we do want to find out is how an employer treats their employees filing a claim for short or long-term disability. Do they attempt to bring employees back before well in order to release them? Do they pay up to 2 years before releasing the long-term disability claim instead of carrying it out full term? Do they perform surveillance in hopes of being able to eliminate this claim completely? Typically, these employers also have far greater resources than their employees. And typically, just as with auto insurance, they use monthly reports to seek out your conditions in hope of finding a way to eliminate your claim. One must also be aware of the possible similar situations with employers. In my opinion, it's a slippery slope when you lean on these corporations in hope of a fair and equitable treatment or settlement. Do they have too much to lose for their investors when treating employees right? One of the last hopes of staying afloat to some degree for people hurt in a car collision is Social Security disability. Wall Street has tried for decades to get their hands on this money to gamble it with your future, not theirs. The disabled have been called every name in the book by those seeking more Wall Street money through using Social Security funds. No longer is borrowing against it good enough for them, which is done in the past. Not even Congress's legislation for another bailout for their bad behavior is enough. It is the least of us which will live in poverty when there is only Social Security income, which is approximately $1,200 a month. This will not cover rent in most places in the United States. It's a meager existence on this income, which does help with the survival of people who are falling on misfortune. The shame-based tactics used to humiliate this population of people should put Wall Street to complete embarrassment. Anyone who thinks life is good on disability should switch out their lives with someone attempting to live on it. USA Today placed the price tag to live the American dream today as $130,000 a year, which is far from $1,200 a month. Living in poverty requires creativity most have never considered. Although most people who live on Social Security disability as their only source of income at least live in poverty, and the operative word is live. Yet how many of these people would be lifted out of these circumstances if insured civil rights legislation was signed by Congress? Legislation which required people to be paid who have been hurt in a collision. The inequality in America is growing to new heights from my perspective. When more is never enough, regardless at the expense of the least of us, this certainly does not look like we are going in the right direction as a society, as suggested recently by the surveys taken. Yet Social Security disability may be buckling under the pressure of those who see the funds once looked upon as Wall Street chump change. When the economy was booming and Wall Street was doing well, they weren't interested. Notice at the recent recession, more corporations were willing to take food stamps, Medicare, and any other government money they could get their hands on. All of a sudden, those with the benefits received hostilities by those who didn't. What a change in tide this has become. Yet, these people had done nothing to no one. In fact, disability had happened to them. When Social Security disability follows Wall Street down the road to mistreat those who they are to protect and serve, the poor and middle class are in trouble. When Social Security doesn't stand up and say, the program is not in as bad a shape as Republicans of Wall Street would say. More importantly, individuals who place their money in this insurance program, and yes, this too is an insurance fund, then the fox may start protecting the hen house, which will place people in a worse position than poverty. That's a place without hope. Who wants to be hopeless? No one. Become informed. Become an advocate to keep benefits in the hands of those it was designed for, those who invest in it, not Wall Street. Let Social Security funds be reinvested for their programs. Many have a blind trust in Social Security disability, yet the same things can happen to you through this insurance carrier as auto insurance and self-insured port. In fact, the network in which they have built among them may not be in your best of interest. Yet Americans are fighters and will not walk quietly away from receiving benefits they expected after being hurt and paying premiums. And this is, again, the reason to educate yourself on the rules. First, it will allow you to become your best advocate. And second, it will eliminate some of the deceptive practices of bad faith insurance companies wherever you may encounter them. Policyholders' lives matter, too. They should not be disregarded and subjected to living in poverty because of the choices made by those who refuse to pay claims they agreed to pay when taking premiums. Would Wall Street be treated the same? Frankly, in my opinion, they would not. Thank you for listening to the show today. Only with your continued knowledge about the insurance industry, self-insured employers, long-term disability, and SSDI can we make a difference in creating an insured civil rights law and legislation which can make this fair and equitable for policyholders. I want to also thank Audacity, InternetArchives.org, and the song Midnight Run by OK. So let's meet back here on Monday, our new day and our new time, which is 7:30 p.m. No matter what you're going through, keep your head up and never give up.